a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yeah. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess, yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess. I'm trying, I'm crying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm doing my best.
We're all different hoes and very different area codes. Anyway, all right, well, welcome back everybody to Being Human and Another Shit. Super pumped. Finally talked Joey into being on the podcast. And I was just literally saying I get to be on this podcast today with my two best friends of all time. So that's really exciting for me. It's not that I'm not excited. It's just my voice. It's the end of the day. So, you know, I'm pumped. I'm internally pumped. So anyway, so we have Joey on. He's going to talk about his sobriety journey. He keeps saying he's nervous.
I feel like we have a celebrity on because of how much we talk about Joey.
Dude, I was literally going to say that.
All right. Well, shoot. Now I'm even more nervous.
People are going to be like, oh my God, this is the infamous Joey. Like, our YouTube views are probably going to go up a fucking by a million.
They're like, this is it? Right. Okay.
They're like, damn, what a letdown.
Just we really kidding. Pumped you up, man.
Nice. Well, hi, everyone. I'm honored to be on today. This is great.
Yeah, Joey's like him and who? Chris are the last of our pack that haven't moved to Sacramento yet. Joe, a little more complicated for them. They have kids. So a little bit harder to pack up, but we got Melissa here. Jeannie's here. Bridget's here. I'm here. So we got to just get everybody else here. Start our own little fucking communion. Communion? What's come on, dude. We're definitely not doing communion.
This is what happens at Monday night at 7.
It's 7 o'clock. Nobody knows fucking left from right. Anywho.
Breaking bread.
Yeah, period. So we wanted to have Joey on to talk about his sobriety journey. I know you have been pretty open about it. Like, obviously, everybody in our group knows. Everybody in your life that's important knows. And you made a post about it, a couple of years ago, I think.
Yeah, I made like a 1 year sober post on Instagram. I went live on social. No, I'm just kidding. I mean,
the big thing, the big reason we really wanted to have you on here is... because I think, like we were talking about yesterday, I think sobriety, luckily, is kind of a big thing now. There's a lot of people, especially in California, they're like Cali sober. And I think, you know, that alone has a lot of controversy.
I hate that thing.
Huh?
I hate that thing, but anyway.
Yeah, it's so stupid. What did I just do? I think a lot of people are like, you know, practicing sobriety now for a multitude of reasons. But I do think, and I'm ignorant as well in this belief, because in my life, all of like anybody who's sober, it was an extremity, right? It wasn't just like somebody having, you know, maybe taking it a little too far. It was like full blown addiction. So that was really the reason I wanted you to come on and share your story, being a dad, especially a dad of a 16-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, to such a big difference between the two of your sons. So really just wanted you to share your story for people who are maybe like, oh, I'm taking it too far nowadays. It's my effort.
Yeah. So what prompted you to stop drinking?
I think there was a few things. I mean, I'm going to have to really dig back in the archives and I'm getting older now, hitting 40. So
yeah.
Memory's going.
No, hitting 40. You've been 40, bro.
Barely. What prompted me? So, well, I guess just the backstory. I mean, I started drinking when I was probably 17. So, I mean, I honestly don't remember. I'm obviously in high school, but I mean, I don't know if it was like 16 or 17, but you know, of course, like socially it was like, oh, you know, in high school, everybody's drinking. Well, at least the crew that we ran with, you know, so it was like,
yeah,
you know, drinking or doing other things. And yeah, I can't even remember like, okay, when did I have like my first sip of alcohol or my first drink? You know, I feel like from what I remember, it was just like, started drinking and like, obviously drinking every weekend, like high school parties, like whatever any alcohol you can get your hands on kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like,
literally.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, it runs in my blood. So, I mean, it's, you know, tying into like the whole addiction thing and DNA, like that's a real thing, you know?
And yeah, it is.
Sometimes I feel like when people, you know, and anything that I'm saying is not like to throw out any kind of judgment to anybody. I just feel like, you know, when people think like, oh, how do you drink so much? Or why do you drink so much? Or, you know, like, I don't think they understand the true parts of like addiction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because addiction looks like many things, you know, it's not like, you know, it doesn't discriminate, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the main thing was like addiction for me, which, you know, way down the road is when I realized, okay, yeah, you know, it's an addiction thing. You know, of course, when you're in it, like 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, you're not thinking of that, you know?
Yeah.
So really like what prompted me, I mean, to answer the question, it was like, I think just socially, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's just how it started was socially and then consumed me from there.
Do you feel like, obviously everybody listening to this knows we're cousins, but also we've been best friends since you were probably born. Do you think like being surrounded by alcohol growing up had an impact on like your own response to it? Cause like speaking from my point of view, I think, and Melissa, this is probably for you too. Like alcohol was so normalized, I guess, that get out of your snacks, that I think that it was one of those things where when you're in high school, I feel like when you start drinking, it's because it's like fun and exciting, you know? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like you spiral a little bit.
Yeah.
I think for me too, like I drank when I was young. Like I remember eighth grade being like the first time I think I really started like drinking.
Damn, yeah, she get a.
I was young. I feel like in the beginning it was that, but then when I even reflect on my own like drinking, I think then that made me more comfortable to be social because I'm more introverted. And so like even now I find myself when I have to be in social situations, I do drink. I don't feel like I drink excessively. But even to Joey's point, like he wasn't a rager, you know? he's raging. It's just I think that
I mean, I was. Yeah, I was. We'll get there. There's timeline.
There's black spots. But yeah, I feel like I went real heavy in high school and there was times that I probably like it was more than just having fun. It was like so that I can be social and stuff.
Yeah. And I think, you know, back to Stacey's question, like my dad did have, you know, a drinking addiction problems, you know, mm-hmm. But see, growing up, though, it wasn't. Like it was more of our younger years, like I would say like under seven, age seven, you know? So after that, I didn't know drinking until I got to high school, you know, and my dad wasn't drinking at that time. My parents didn't drink really at that time, you know?
Yeah. I feel like your mom's like the most I've seen your mom drink in my life is like the last, I feel like 10 years. Yeah, it was
more like later on in her life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole other story, but I mean,
yeah.
So I wasn't like around it, like, oh, my parents were constantly drinking, like when I was in high school. So I was like, it was like a common thing. No, it was like we would still get in trouble for it. Like if we, around it. And I feel like I didn't remember like pre age seven, I guess, or eight, you know, as far as like my dad having a drinking issue until. Like later on when we talked about it, you know? So that's why I just say like, it runs in your blood. It runs in your DNA really, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's kind of wild though. Like how, I feel like how normalized it is in high school to just be like completely out of control. And I think we all have this in common in Lodi. Like Lodi was a country town when we were growing up. It wasn't what it is now, you know? So it's like, it wasn't abnormal to like be at hella house parties and in vineyards and and the cops weren't on our ass all the time. Like it was a little more normalized there, a little more like accepted to be like in high school, like getting hammered, you know?
Yeah. I think also that's like also why the drinking age is probably 21 is because we're also stupid as fuck when we're little. Like you can't give
even at 21.
Toddler. I mean, even at 21. Yeah. But like, you can't give a toddler like a bag of M&Ms and be like,
control yourself.
Just drink one. Yeah. I mean, I think you should just eat one. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's like different. I mean, even speaking as a parent now of a high schooler, it's like, it's completely different from when I was in high school. And then now I have those like aha moments when I'm like, oh, that's what my parents were like talking about, or wait till you're a parent, you know?
Yeah.
And so it comes like full circle. And it's like, those are the kind of things that give me anxiety as of like, as a parent, you know, but it's like my kid's good and I know he doesn't drink and we talk about it all the time. We have open discussions, you know, so yeah, it's just totally different now.
That's a key missing point, though, because I can't speak for you guys, but like we didn't. It was never like my dad or mom being like, don't do this. Don't try this. Don't. I had literal living examples. I mean, my dad specifically, but like cousins watching the shit they were doing where it was never a conversation. It was just like a, you know,
yeah, kind of like an unspoken thing, I guess, like look at what can happen.
Yeah. And like, honestly, going like deeper into that, you're already breaking like generational shit by like having those conversations with Evan. And he is an excellent kid and you guys have done an amazing job with him. But like high school is high school. And there is going to be a time where he's going to do some dumb shit. And it's nice that he knows he can talk to his parents, you know?
Yeah. You know, of course, it's a never ending cycle, fully evolving of different things every day, you know? So, but yeah
high school.
I think that's another thing is like, you know, becoming sober was, you know, as a parent, like just some of the choices I made and some of the things I did, like drinking while having a kid, driving, you know, going places, yeah. like acting like it's socially acceptable when it was like after becoming sober, I'm just like, I can't believe the things that I would do.
Do you feel like you have a lot of guilt surrounding that?
No. I don't anymore. I mean, we've talked about it. I mean, we've discussed it with Evan, you know, like, So I don't carry guilt about it. I just know that I made changes to be better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know. I love that too. Cause it's, I think for me, like watching you and Chanel have Evan so young, you know? And then like, I remember when she was pregnant with Evan, you guys were both used. We're like, she's pregnant, we're not going to drink. And then when Enzo came along,
I mean, like, it wasn't like a decision like, okay, yeah, we're not going to drink. Like, she was pregnant, so she couldn't drink. I mean, if she did, then I mean, it was like,
I mean, but you didn't drink either. I don't remember.
I drank. It wasn't like there was good things were not coming out of it, you know?
Yeah.
My drinking, it was never like, oh, it was positive things.
Yeah.
It was always negative things. And it took me a long time to realize that, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, drinking from 17 until like I think it was like 2019. I don't know. I always forget the date. I always have to look and see like what.
Damn, you got through the pandemic without drinking?
Barely. There was like a period, I think. No. Yeah, we did. We did. But I mean, yeah. My brain's all over the place thinking of like all, you know, just like flashbacks. No.
So with like your decision to finally, I mean, obviously we all, I mean, I could literally spiral if I thought about.
Of course.
Fuck the last, I mean, I would almost said 21 years of drinking. Yeah, bitch. I could spiral, but what was like the tipping point where you're just like, I have to be done with this?
Well, like more towards the, when I became sober was more my health mm-hmm. was a big thing because I would go to the doctor regularly, have blood work done. So it really was a combination of like really making bad decisions and like really drinking and just like being hungover all the time. Calling in a sick at work all the time, you know, mm-hmm. like. And then my health was a factor. So then it was like, okay, I was starting to have like, I wouldn't say severe liver issues, but my doctor really was like, if you don't stop drinking in like a few years, you're going to really have some problems, you know? So drinking from 17 until what, 37? I mean, 20 years, 19 years. I mean, that takes a toll on you and everybody's body reacts differently to it. So some people can be the heaviest drinkers and never have a health problem.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Some people can drink barely and have health problems, you know? So mm-hmm. everybody's body's different. So for me, it was like seeing my blood work and seeing these numbers like skyrocketing for my liver levels.
Yeah.
A little scary. And, but did I stop drinking? No, because it was hard, you know? I mean, it was so hard to stop drinking, but you know, I was going to the doctor every 4 months to have blood work and I knew it. I was seeing it right in front of me. Like, and my doctor was telling me like, and I was just like, I still haven't stopped drinking yet. Like I'm trying to, you know, and my doctor, I love my doctor. He's a good guy. He's chill and we have a good relationship. And he was like, well, I mean, this is what's going to happen if you don't stop drinking, you know?
Yeah.
And do we have the same doctor, huh? Did we talk about this, Dr. Yi?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. What?
Do you still have him?
Yeah.
That is hella random.
Yeah. I think, yeah, we did talk about it. But I mean,
damn, do I need to call him?
He's good.
He's cool.
He's Phil left out. F Kaiser, bro. Phil left out.
Yeah. I mean, that was the health towards the end was one of my main reasons. Because probably if I didn't have any concern for my health, I'd probably still be drinking.
Did you taper? I don't remember. Did you like taper down or did you just stop cold turkey? I couldn't remember.
I just stopped.
You just stopped?
Yeah. I think I kept in my head, like giving myself dates, like, okay, I'm just going to stop like after next week, after next weekend. Because it's like, that's the thing. It's like, okay, with addiction, it's like, it just got bad because I was always like planning my life around alcohol. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, we're going to go do this. Okay. What kind of alcohol am I going to bring? Oh, what? Okay. I need to get this drink. So you guys know it. I mean, you guys know the drinks that I was bringing and slanging. It's like,
you were a fucking mixologist, bro. More than me. I mean, I was like, damn, I'm supposed to be the bartender.
He still is, but with mocktails, man.
Yeah.
That's
literally the fanciest shit ever. I'm like, just give me a tequila soda. I don't know.
Right. So yeah, I don't know. It was just a lot of things. It was just a lot of things. And I obviously, as I got older and wiser and, you know, was like, hey, I really need to like stop this. And, you know, personal relationships with Chanel, you know, it was like, you know, we went through some real stuff. We went through some real stuff. And it was like, okay, I could either be better or I could like lose it all and be like over alcohol. You know what I'm saying? Like over what? Like to just like, and why am I drinking? Why am I drinking, you know, this much? Because after a while, okay, so like after high school, now to go back, it's like, okay, you drink to have fun. And after that, you're 21, you go to the bars, you can start going to places and drink. And then it's like, you keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, you know, then it's like, okay, clearly it's not, I don't have no control over this.
Yeah.
And that's the type of person I am. I didn't have control over it. It wasn't like, oh, I'm kind of like, oh, I just need to kind of cut back. It was like, for me, I have to either stop drinking. That was it. I had to stop drinking because there's no way I could just cut back. And, you know, a lot of people would be like, just have one drink here and there. I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
Have you, once you stopped drinking, have you had any drinks? Like,
so, So like when I very first stopped drinking, it was like, I stopped, I think for like 7 months. I was sober for like 7 months. And then I graduated from Stan State. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I want to celebrate and I'm going to have a drink. Mm-hmm. And I really was kept telling myself that in my head. And I was going back and forth, you know, I was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, or maybe I'll just slowly kind of like to see, just have a drink, you know? So I did. And I drank for like 8 more months after that.
I don't even remember this. Where was that at?
Everywhere. I don't know.
Oh, I thought it was when we went to Dust Bowl.
Yeah. I had a drink there. That was like literally the first drink I had. No, I just had a couple of tastes of beers.
Yeah.
So I think it was kind of like weird because I was like, okay, I had been sober for 7 months, you know, from alcohol. And then it was like, okay, well, I'll just have like a couple tastes. And then it's like, you know, and then I just drank for like 8 months after that. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why? And I was still going to the doctor, getting like my blood work. And it was like, my levels weren't going down. So I'm like, I just really need to not drink. And after the 8 months, that was when I stopped. And I'd been sober since like 2019.
I imagine like the resentment that would build. I mean, besides like the bad decisions you're making, like the resentment that would build with Chanel, because correct me if I'm wrong, but she obviously stopped drinking with Enzo and then never started again. Right.
Right. Yeah. And it was like, you know, if I didn't have her support, like, I don't know where I'd be. She's like really who I owe it to, you know? And this 100%. Is real shit. It's like, you know, it was like, if you don't stop drinking, like I can't deal with it. And it's not to put her on blast or nothing. It's like, this is real life. You know,
I mean, good for her for like standing up for herself and for her kids, because as important as you guys are together, I mean, fuck, you've been together what, since 2024? I mean, how can I do math? 14 years? Yeah. No, 2005.
In 2005. So about
19 years.
Yeah.
I was like, I mean, the math ain't mathing with that girl.
I know.
Teenager.
I was thinking, I mean, honestly, I was thinking about my breakup. So I was like, 2010. Then I'm like, why is that number? Got it. We got together at the same time, like a month apart. So it always is like, but yeah, no, I imagine like the resentment that would just build with her for having to like pick up where you were lacking, you know? Because the one thing I'll say about you, Joey, is like, being able to witness this as your cousin and like somebody who loves you so much, is you're a fucking man. You're a grown man. And, you know, you and Chanel got pregnant really young. I mean, you were in college. You put your shit on hold to get a good job with Social Security. You moved back to Lodi, which I don't think ideally you wanted to do. And you did what you had to do to make sure that your family's been taken care of, you know, like to this day. And, yeah. You know, I imagine, I can't speak on behalf of Chanel, obviously, but I imagine for her, it was probably like a mind fuck where it's like, I don't want to leave this situation with somebody I love, but I will.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she's had that thought many of times, you know? And yeah, even like, okay, when she got pregnant, it was like we were in the thick of partying in Sacramento, you know? Mm-hmm. And we were young. I mean, she was like 22, 23 when Evan was born. I was like 24, going 25. And it was like, okay, like this is real life now. Like we have to move closer to home. Like I need to get a real job. I was working at Rick's Pizza, or like even driving from Sacramento to work at Rick's Pizza, like because I wasn't getting another job in Sac, you know? So
yeah,
finally it was like, we need to move to Lodi because we need to be closer to her mom was still in Tracy at the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, and then I was just still partying now that, and when I go back and think on it, it's like, damn, like I just couldn't let it go, you know?
Also, side note though, can we fucking shout out Rick? Because I feel like Rick has really like been that boss for you. Every time you've needed like some, like a little pick me up, he's like, yeah, come take some tables, man.
Oh yeah.
Family has been so good to you guys.
Yeah. They were always, you know, welcoming, like let me work, like basically like whenever I wanted to or pick up shifts, you know, so it was great. It helped a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And then when I got the job where I am now, it was like, okay, it's getting real. Like I need to find a real job. And like, what am I doing with my life? Like, how am I going to support my family? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dude, honestly, like thinking about it, if I found out right now that I was pregnant, I would fucking probably drink. Cause I'd be like, what the fuck? So that probably just pushed you deeper, you know?
No, for sure. For sure. Like,
I mean, that's terrifying at 24.
Yeah. But I mean, I was already drinking since 17. So I was already been drinking for like 7 years.
He was like, let's celebrate.
Yeah. You know, and then it was like, okay, so Chanel was pregnant. So obviously she can't drink anymore. But that was like, I was still going out, making stupid decisions, just being all effed up. Like,
I feel like it intensifies it because you got a sober driver for 9 months.
No, Brush. Not even that. She's like,
we all did.
Driving you. Yeah. I mean, not all the time.
Yeah, Chanel ain't the one. She ain't gonna offer that shit. Do you feel like you said with the epiphanies with your parents, do you feel like you give your dad and mom maybe a little more grace with some of the, like, the mistakes they made with you and your brothers? I mean, specifically you and Jeff, because, you know, your other brother is so young and so there's so many years of difference between you guys. But do you feel like you give your parents grace with some of the shit you've gone through?
Yeah, I hold nothing against my parents at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because the way I deal with stuff and everything and the way I process everything, you know, I don't know. I don't feel like that there was anything that I was like, man, that really like messed me up or like really, you know, I really honestly truly don't.
Yeah. Hold on to.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like I've put in work for myself. Like last year I started going to therapy and I feel like, you know, to deal with like a lot of things that you just can't deal with on your own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like doing that has helped me in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah. So. And well, being two extremes in parenting, right? You have a teenager and like a kindergartner.
Yeah. Just
not even kinder yet, but like, general. You know what I mean? Like I say this all the time. As a teacher, like we were talking about this on Saturday night. They were like, there's no job we know like yours that's like stimulating every way. And I'm like, and then my friends who teach with me go home to children. Like I could barely feed this fucking cat some days.
Yeah.
Like, real talk. I mean, my job is like overly stimulating.
Yes. There's
all senses, safety, emotional fucking awareness of kids. Managing staff, like it's so much shit, and then you guys have kids after like job, like what?
I mean, you're technically like a parent to these kids.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying in general, I don't know how anybody even has a fucking job and also kids, right? Like, right. And then for you, like, you have not only have kids, but it's also like Chanel's doing the real fucking hard work. So it's like,
oh yeah,
you got to give her a break when she gets, you get home, you know, like,
yeah. And you know, that was definitely hard to learn and a hard balance. Cause it's like, shit, when I get home, like, who wants to be around their kids?
You're like, I'm tired of working.
You know, I'm just being honest. It's like, yeah, people that lie and say like, I don't know. Maybe they.
No, Joey, you have been so honest about parenting.
It ain't easy. It's not easy. I mean, if it was, you want it to be easy, then you don't be a parent. You know what I'm saying? If you have it physically have a kid and you just leave your kid, that's taking the easy way out. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, even having a dog, Melissa, you know, like even having a dog after my dog's passed, it's like, fuck, I went to Tahoe for the night, filled this fucker's bowl up and I was gone. Left him a light on.
Like, bye.
I probably didn't even need to leave him a light on, but I just did because I felt bad.
Yeah,
but
I can't, you know what imagine. I mean? Yeah, I can't imagine like having a child with how busy and overwhelmed and overworked I feel to like then be present for a child. Like, and right. Joey, you have like a high demanding job too. So it's like by the time you get home, you still got to keep working until your kids go to bed pretty much. You still have to engage with Evan and make sure you're having those conversations so he doesn't turn into an idiot. Like, you know? And make sure that, you know, Enzo's getting all the things that he needs as he's developing. So it's like, I can't even imagine the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, that's why I always say, like, it ain't easy. And it's like, I really truly don't know what other words to say because I don't know. You have to really find your way and you really do it. Like, you know, with Chanel and I, we work well together and, you know, it's, you just have to find your balance. Cause it's like you said, demanding jobs, things like that. It's like, yeah, you want the easy way out. Then you don't be a parent. You don't be involved and you don't, you know, talk to your kids. Cause it's like, okay, having a 16-year-old, having to have different kind of conversations with a 16-year-old than you do with a 5-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like the minute I walk in the door and so it's like, can we go outside? Da, 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 you know? And it's like, okay, yeah, let's go outside.
he's probably dying to come outside right now.
Oh yeah, he was. I was like, I have a meeting, so because I was like, you can play for like 30 minutes, and he doesn't know any concept of time like that. And so then he was like, and after that, you got to go in and get in the bath. You know, it's like it's a never ending. Mm-hmm. You know, parenting, parenthood, and everything like that. It's like that's why it's like you got to tell the truth. It's like.
Yeah, no, I do appreciate like parents that keep it real. Like, obviously I'm not a parent, but being able to pass that like information on to my little sister, you know, cause she's a single parent. It's like, dude, it's hard. I see her struggle. I even see my brother struggle and they have a lot of help from my mom, but I'm like, I don't think a lot of people are really, it's like, oh, it's just so wonderful. It's like, no, dude, it's the hardest fucking job of all time, you know? And I don't know why people pretend like it's so, I literally don't have kids because I do not want to do the work. I want to wake up on I woke up on Sunday at 10:45. That's not changing for me. I turned my phone off. I had no cares in the world.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with like, I think we were kind of blessed too, because we had Evan for a long time. Just the three of us, you know? So, I mean, our schedule was like, shoot, we got to sleep in on the weekends. Cause I think we kind of like trained him to sleep in on the weekends.
Right? Yeah. You guys, I love the like, vacation with y'all. Cause you guys sleep.
Yeah. We all woke up like 10. That's like just the joke in our family. Like, oh, they're not coming till like later or whatever. But it's like, yeah, we love our sleep, you know? And
Do you feel like it's a big, like there's things that Evan may have witnessed that like, and it like, do you, but that Enzo's never going to witness,
Totally.
You know? Like the most Enzo's around drinking is probably when we all come up. Sounds so bad.
Our apologies.
Sorry, Enzo.
No, I mean, we were literally, Evan knows like every winery in Lodi. We were like on the wine circuit. We were at the wine club parties. Like Evan was going to wineries. You know, he's witnessed a lot, you know, and it was like, you know, when you're in it and you're like, oh, it's fine. Like, ain't no big deal. I mean, it's like, do whatever like that. Was what we did, you know. Mm-hmm. We chose to take our kid with us to wineries and like drink and think it was okay. Do I think it's okay now? No, I mean, that's just my opinion, you know.
Like,
of course, like, yeah, if you can control it, but it was like I had no control. I was drinking a lot, driving around my family, just making dumb decisions, you know. And I looking at it now, and I'm just like, what the hell? Or like, we would be like drinking at my brother's house till late, and even if it's not far from us. Still driving home, and it was like something could happen in the 2-3 blocks that we live from the house, coming home at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
it's wild.
Like just thinking you're invisible, you know. I'm so thankful that nothing, no accidents, didn't get pulled over. Like somebody was watching over me, you know.
Yeah. Do you think it was helpful to a certain degree, Evan, getting to see both sides and then like seeing as you guys drank like different versions of you? Not even that you guys were like, I doubt you were like raging drunks where you were like crazy and, you know, abusive or anything, but you can see the shift when people drink. And so do you think that may help him stay away from it, getting to see like you guys being sober now and more present?
I honestly low-key think that may be because I feel like, I mean, yeah, alcohol is, it's still there in high school, obviously, but I feel like he's so occupied with other things and maybe it is like his own experience, you know. I will never know that unless I ask him directly, which I haven't, but I
mean, maybe later
conversations.
Yeah. You know, I mean, probably it's like, shit, you, that's kind of stuff you remember. Like, oh yeah. Like, I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, I mean, he's mentioned it like, oh yeah, we used to go to the winery. He's like, you know, when there's kids that are like, what's a winery?
Yeah.
And he's going to, you know, or there's kids that like know exactly what a winery is and what alcohol is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's difference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be one of the reasons. Who knows?
I do think that, like, I've told you this before, is you have to like receive your flowers because there's not, you and Chanel both, there's like, obviously speaking from my own experience, like it took me such a long time to like, once I got into my anger phase to get out of it. I mean, everybody knows my first reaction for fucking 90% of my life is anger. You disrespect me, I'm angry. You make me sad, I'm angry. Like, anger was my first emotion I felt from childhood. And so, like, for you to be brave enough, you and Chanel both, to get sober, understanding that it's a problem. I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of kids without parents. You know, there's a lot of good people who didn't get their addictions under control. And I say that as an ignorant person who has had it, addiction. You know, I don't ever want to come off as I'm like judging people with addiction. Yeah. I know not everyone is strong-minded like us. I know some people have like real mental health issues that go hand in hand with addiction. So in no way am I judging, you know, but like, you're alive and healthy for your kids. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been, you know, of course, like you said, receiving your flowers. Like, I don't, to me, I look at it as like, this is what I have to do in order to like survive and make sure I'm there for my family. Like, my parents were there for us, like, no matter what, you know, I mean, they were there. Like, my dad like took care of us. Like, I just follow in my dad's footsteps. Like, he worked
his ass off. His ass off. My dad
worked all the time.
Yes, he did.
To give us whatever we wanted.
All the best cereals.
So it was
all the best sodas.
Obviously, you get shit from your parents. Like, I got my work ethic from my dad. It was like, I don't think I ever like not worked. I started working when I was 16. So yeah, I mean, what was your question?
I was just saying, giving you your flowers because I just respect you so much. Like, you know, from like so many people, that's not how the story ends.
Yeah. No, it's not. And it's like, everybody's journey is different. And it was like, for me, it was like, I was functioning for like a long time because it was like, yeah, I had a good job. I got a good job when I was 24, but I mean, I was calling into work like once, sometimes twice a week.
Yeah.
Luckily I didn't get fired. It was like, oh, I have a job where like you could call into work and like not get fired. It was like, cool. Like, I could drink and be hella hungover and call into work, you know?
Just yeah.
Dumb shit like that. When I look back on it, I'm like, you know, just, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just doing things like that was, I don't know.
Well, can we talk about like the amount of money that we've pumped into shit that like we have nothing to show for? Cause I know for me, it is the hangovers. That's like same, right? Like, you know, a while ago I had some like levels that were a little high on my liver. And for me, that's very triggering. You guys probably both experienced the full meltdown I had over those numbers, but like, I think even just the hangovers I don't want to deal with, where I'm like, this just isn't worth feeling like shit tomorrow. Not that I don't tie one on every once in a while. I'm not saying that. But also just I think about the amount of fucking money I have wasted sitting in shithole bars with like people that I would never be friends with, but like we're hammered together. So it's like, you know?
Yeah. And then the choices that follow drinking, right? Like food choices that follow drinking, like
dick choices that follow drinking.
How do I say
dick it? Choices that follow drinking? That's how you say it.
Just stupid things that, like, when you're in, you know, a sober mind, it's like you're embarrassed of, and like, why would, you know, why do we want to, like, put ourselves in that situation?
Yeah, the next day regrets, you know, you're just like, I was so many times looking at my bank account like, what the hell did I do? And I had no business spending money like that.
Yeah.
No business spending money like that. You know, and it was like, I was acting like I was having, like I had tons of money just to blow on. And that's how much, like, that you are, my addiction was alcohol. And it was like buying the best wine, buying hella bottles of wine, buying, going to a bar and spending like $200 like on a bar tab of just like drinking and shots and just like, just
dumb. Every possible wine club you could be a part of, you were wine a part
club
of.
Just like going out on Thursday nights, finding ways to go, like I said, going back to like always planning everything around alcohol.
Yeah,
was my issue, was always planning everything around alcohol. And it was like, damn, like after I got sober, it was like,
is there,
did you have head moment. Yeah.
Is there anything? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Go ahead.
Are there any, like, because we do a lot of social gatherings and stuff, and you seem to handle that really well. But are there any like any moments or certain social events that you feel like triggered, or you want to drink, or no?
No. Right now, I'm strong.
In the beginning, did you feel that way?
Oh yeah. In the beginning, oh yeah, but it was never like, I have to leave the situation because I'm gonna about to drink right now.
It was just tempting.
No? Yeah.
Oh yeah, very tempting. You know, there's been so many times where I'm like, man, I miss the taste of champagne.
You know? This motherfucker's always had fucking champagne taste, I swear.
But I feel like some of it for you seems super social too. So like having the non-alcoholic drinks and making the mocktails, like I see the same like joy you get out of just like socializing in that aspect, you know, where it still
and
feels
that's the
like
thing,
you're
is drinking. Like, you know. Yeah, it's still, you know, that's going back to, you know, everybody's journey is different. It's like, there's some people that probably cannot be around alcohol at all whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But see, I don't, in the beginning, it was hard. But now I'm like, I'm totally fine with it. Like, you want me to go buy you some beers? Cool. You want me to, you want
you
me
literally
to,
just did that for me last week.
You want to go to a bar? Like, I can go be in a bar and like not have a drink or have non-alcoholic beers. Or it's like, or that's why I'm like, I don't see you. There's some bars that have like no non-alcoholic beers. I'm like, even one kind, I'm like, a lot of people like don't drink nowadays, you know, I'm like,
honestly, there's a lot more people that don't drink that do.
Yeah. And it's like, you're still making money from a business standpoint. Is like, I would go in and buy like three non-alcoholic beers and have and chill with my friends that are buying alcohol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
100%.
So, I mean, I don't have any issues like being in social circles with drinking, you know?
You know what's really funny is I was thinking about like the evolution of our not only crab feeds but just our group. Like it's wild how many, like how different, but not, I don't know how to explain it, like different but not different at all. Like knowing no one's personalities have changed. We've all genuinely gotten better.
We've all just evolved and accepted each other
in a really good way though. Like, you know, normally in a group of 8 or 9 people, there's not like so much positive evolution. You know, there's always somebody that's like, fucking A, bro, if this asshole keeps acting like this, he's going to get out the group. We don't have that.
Hey, maybe
no,
it's
because
you.
We have.
No, yeah, fuck, is it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Am I the problem?
You're like, actually, this is an intervention. This is not a podcast episode.
We said you
because we have accountability because we're like, damn, you be acting a fool. Or you know how many times like I've been told that. I know that. See, that's the thing with alcohol too. Like I would be acting so stupid.
I had like 4 memories pop in my head as soon as you said that.
There's so many memories that are just like flashing by. I'm just like, oh my God.
They're hilarious to me, but also the ones you probably think are funny, I'm like, oh my God, what a
no. They're just embarrassing. And now, I mean, I'm not so embarrassed now. I could totally freely talk about it because I'm like, you know what? I am where I am. And that was my journey, you know? And
100%.
I'm not embarrassed. You want, you know? I like to talk about it because it's like, you know, for me, that's one way of like kind of coping, not coping with it, but I mean, like, I'm proud of it. You know, like I like to talk about it. I like to, you never know when you're going to be a help to somebody else or whatever words you're going to say are going to help somebody else, even when you're not thinking about it.
Yep.
That's why it's like, I always am like, you know, I think when I don't post like a lot of personal stuff on social media, I mean, pictures of my kids and stuff, but I mean like words wise, you know?
Yeah.
When I posted that 1 year sober thing, a lot of people were really surprised. And I just said, you know, I'm always here for like non-judgmental help, you know, because it's like everybody's journey is different. And I can't, I mean, yeah. I know I keep saying that, but it really, it is so different because not everybody is going through the same thing, but they're like, man, you know, I even had people like message me where like, I didn't realize it and I didn't know you had a problem. And like, it's so cool to see that from you. And like, I've had problems and, you know, like ask for help, you know? So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that people don't realize the power of testimony as much as I'm on social media. I think it's so fucking stupid. Sometimes I'll just read shit people write.
Yeah, like, there's good and bad of it. Obviously.
You know, like everything. It's some people are just so inauthentic. And I think people that share their stories all the time, it's for their own internal need, which whatever, that's their social media. But I do think that when you shared that post, it was really powerful and it was really brave. And I do think with sobriety specifically, like, you know, having your own, sharing your testimony is very important. And they're in like, when we think about even Melissa with like some of the guests we've had, like my cousin Brett, he's the same as you. He's like, if I pick up a beer, it's straight back to living under a bridge for me. You know, but like people like my brother, like Vince, like he'll have a beer once out of 10 times that I offer him one. I'll be like, dude, you want to have a beer with me? You know, he'll be like, sure. And it's not a problem. That's not a problem for him, you know, anymore. So it's like everybody's journey. Like if we say journey one more fucking time,
I know, right?
Everyone's story is different, you know, and everybody's. Please don't. Did you subscribe to any of like the AA shit, or did you ever go to meetings or have like a sober?
No, I didn't actually. You know what? I just really did it cold turkey. And I was like, I kind of want to, but like, I'm like, I don't know what kind of like where I knew where the AA places were in Lodi, but I was like, I don't know. I don't even have the bandwidth or capacity to do that. Like I was dealing with my family. I was going to work every day. I was like, I'm doing this on my own. And I did listen to a lot of podcasts, actually, a lot of sober, like AA podcast kind of, you know, here and there when I had time, but you know, I did that. The support of Chanel was like, I mean, if I didn't have that, I don't know what else I would do. You know,
that's what I mean,
I went through a lot, like, you know, becoming sober was like not an easy feat.
Yeah. Well, and Chanel's family, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, you know, of course, and all you guys, like all my friends was like the support of like my, really of you guys was like, that's awesome. You know, like hearing that from people and you guys just telling me, like everybody in the club telling me, you know, like, not just Stacey Melissa, you know, telling me like, we got you.
Yeah.
You know, we got you 100, and my family, you know, Chanel's family, like everybody was just like, great, you know? So I think that helped a lot. Knowing I had a bigger purpose for my kids.
Yeah.
You know, because that was just like, you know,
if you didn't have kids, you think it'd be the same outcome?
No, I'd probably still be drinking right now.
Yeah.
Among other things. I mean, I was doing drugs too back then, you know?
Yeah. 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 I mean, a lot of that shit goes hand in hand, you know?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I was doing smoking a lot, doing other drugs.
Yeah.
Just, and the drugs obviously stopped a while ago, like way before, or Evan, you know, was born. But I mean, yeah and now I still dabble with like THC and stuff and edibles, so I mean, that's
Sarah, you know. Kelly sober.
I was gonna say
that. Yeah, I know, I hate that. That's why I
had to put
that.
It in. I had to put it in.
That's my ick.
It's like nobody else in fucking any other in the nation smokes weed but California, like,
right?
Cool.
Come, you
know,
on.
And that's, I mean, we are fucking like, cool. Okay, so, you know, like, oh, when you say like you're sober, I feel like people always like, oh, like you're just dry from everything, you know? And it's like, no, I'm sober from alcohol.
It's also chill the fuck out, sober police.
Right. You know, it's like everybody's journey's different.
It's like the, it's like those people when you wear like a Metallica shirt, like, name five songs right now. It's like,
right.
Get a life. Like,
or people are like, I'm sober from drugs. Like, I drink, but I don't do hard drugs.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, you're sober. That's your journey. That's your sober, you know?
I will say, I have two opinions on AA and NA as somebody, as a sister of, because, you know, for a long time I had thought about doing what I don't remember what it is, but where basically you go and you're like the child of an addict or the child of an alcoholic or a sibling, yeah. You know? Yeah. And I never, could bring myself to going, because I think we're all similar in a sense of like, we're on social media for shits and gigs. And while I will share some things, and there's been many moments since I've opened my Instagram and Facebook back up of thinking like, this, I feel this type of way today, and I really want to like do a story and like post it. And then I just never end up doing it. Yeah. Because I think ultimately at the core of who I am, I'm very private. And, you know, I will tell my friends any and everything, like, I'll show you my booty hole. I don't give a fuck. But like, if I don't know you, or if it's like a follower, I'm like, I don't really feel the calling to like share all that, you know? So I think, experiencing so many sober from drugs people around me, and most of my family's sober from everything at this point. I do think that those are great supports, but I do think they prey on the weak. You know, I don't think it's like a secret that the AA and NA 12 steps have like, you know, a lot of religious backgrounds in it. And I just don't feel like that's equitable to people who don't like praise Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's like, what about people who are Muslim or people that are Buddhist? Like they don't praise Jesus. So does that mean they're not worthy of like getting access to help getting sober?
I think, you know, also can be, I agree with you. But I also think that it's just like any religion or, you know, path that people want to follow, like they kind of just pick what feels good to you. So I think that those programs can also be, you know, like a list of things that you, going to say like a buffet of things that you want to like put on your plate that is for you. And so I think that, you know, even with religion, like, nobody should be following what somebody else thinks to the T. Like, it's what makes you feel good. So I think that those programs are good and they're beneficial, but I agree with you. I think that when people are super vulnerable, they can be led down very specific paths and could sometimes feel worse than.
Yeah. It feels predatory. Yeah. It feels predatory, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, and some people need that.
100%. I was just going to say, it's just like Weight Watchers, right? I did Weight Watchers back in the day, and I did it with an old friend, and she needed to go to the meetings every week for accountability. I did not. We lost the same amount of weight, but it was like, I don't need that. That doesn't mean that her needing it makes her weaker than me. We're just different. Our accountability is different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm calling and like calling my friends and crying to them. And for me, I think it relates a lot to safety too, who I feel safe with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know.
I know it crossed my mind, but I was probably like, I don't know if I want to go like sit in a circle with people that I don't know and talk about something where I feel like maybe my problem is not as hardcore as like others, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I agree with that.
I can do this like on my own, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you also have done stuff. You've started therapy. You also are going through this journey with Chanel. So it's like you technically have your own little group, you know, your own little AA group. And because you two are so supportive versus like toxic with one another, you kind of, I'm sure there's been many of conversations and many times where it's like you guys are helping sponsor each other to a certain degree, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think we've grown so much together, you know, and it's like, I sometimes always forget. It's like, she's sober too.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes it's always like, oh, I'm sober. And it's like, ooh, like, good job. And you're doing so good. But it's like, no, she's like, cool. Doing so good too. Like,
yeah,
she may have not drank or been as hardcore as I was, but I mean, we still, for a lot of our lives, were drinking in the streets. A lot together, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. We was out in these streets being wild.
Yeah, she for the streets now.
She been for the streets since you met her. Remember the first one she was wearing?
Whoop. Oh my god!
Just kidding.
It's gonna be like dying on this.
I know. I mean, it is. It is like, you guys are such a beautiful example of growing together, and I think that the transparency you guys have, not only your challenges, you know, with the what you've gone through drinking together, what you've gone through when she was sober and you started drinking again, but also just like real shit about like being with somebody for 19 and how long have you been married? Like
14 years.
Yeah, it's like you've been married for 14 together for 19. Like it's just a perfect example of growing together, you know? Oh, yeah. And I always tell, like, it, like, bottom line, you can't do shit without a support system. It always just makes me feel so bad for people who don't have anybody, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because sometimes the system's not set up for those people to not fail.
And yeah, that, and it's about evolving together. You know, it's about, you know, I owe it to her because it's like, I owe it to my family. I mean, we've really come so far, you know, it's about evolving and like meeting each other, like where we're at, you know.
Mm-hmm. You guys actually like each other.
Yeah.
I was going to say, your friendship was like after, super beautiful.
Yeah. And then after becoming sober too, it was like, man, just the changes and the, you know, she said it before too. It was like, you're just a different person. And it's like, I know that I'm a different person. I know I can say that I have changed and I have become better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, without a doubt. There was shit that I doing after sober that I'm like, man, like, who am I? You know, like, just not even like little shit, but just like, you know, like being responsible, being like able to
present.
Yeah. Being present, being emotionally present, being like, you know, the hard things, like we're literally the hard things that people don't want to do. Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing I've seen in you since you've been sober, just coming from somebody who's like knows you so well.
Yeah. You've seen it all.
Well, yeah, literally. And I do think that I obviously have a different perspective because I don't think there's anybody on this earth besides you two that know me like on a cellular fucking level. You know, I've said it before. I don't think my family like knows me on a level that you and Melissa do. And I've shared more with you guys than anybody in my life. And Joe, you've lived it, you know, like you've been there when my dad literally died. Like you've been by my side through everything. So it's like the one thing I'll say about you is you've always been really a lot more quiet and shy than obviously my loud mouth, but like you've been so much more emotionally open to other people besides like the safe people like me and Chanel. I've heard, seen you and Melissa form your own friendship. I've seen you form your own friendship with other people. And it's like, I know that all is a result of you taking that step and getting sober, you know? Yeah. It's like not a relationship based on getting hammered together.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, what do you do? Like, if you don't, if like, okay, your friends that you only go get drunk with or something, you know, and it's like, okay, you really got to like make time for friendships, for relationships, for your spouse, for your kids, like for everybody. And it's like, damn, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
No. And I have to tell you from somebody who loves to party, like, and was in the industry for so long, you know, that I say even with my own drinking in specifically my second relationship, I mean, it was a big issue for both of us.
Yeah.
You know, one person didn't want to be out in public and drink because they had no control when they did. And then there was me who was just like in the industry getting fucked up all the time. Yeah. And I, all those people that were my friends that I cared so much about, I don't talk to any of them. Cause we don't have that in common anymore. It's like, yeah, bro, you want to come like sit by my fire with me and my cat? Like if you're into that and do a puzzle, you know, but then it's like, I think about the time they, I don't know if you know this, Melissa, but I just went to Arnold with them. They invited me, Mike, Chanel's mom's partner invited me. He's just so nice. Always like wants to include me. And I had the best fucking time. And we like literally ate, took walks, like did a little bit of wine tasting with them, which I enjoyed, you know, mm-hmm. But like, and Joey came, he showed up at the winery. We were all getting tasting and like having a good time, getting a little loose. And it was totally fine and normal. And I loved it.
That sounds like the perfect vacation.
Dude, it was so nice. Like just being in. Yeah, it was so nice. Like everything about it was just easy. And that's the thing I think about you, Joey, and like Aunt Chanel is like, you guys make the impact you have on our group is you guys do make everything so easy. It's just easy with y'all. It flows. It's fine. You know? And a lot of people don't realize with being so easy is because you guys front load so much work. Mm-hmm. When you host us at your house, you know, everything you and Chanel do, you guys put so much effort into it. And like everybody recognizes that. And you don't have to fucking provide some shit you provide because y'all don't even drink.
Yeah. Well, part of that too is like the control in me. Like I can't let go of control sometimes.
No, but you also are just so like caring and you want
to. I like being a host. I mean, we like hosting.
You it's like to make sure everybody has like, a good you know, experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we always like to make sure people have a good time. And it's like, you know, there's all that comes with it. So.
Bro, 5 stars on Yelp, 100%. If there was a page, I would give you the best review.
10 out of 10.
Nice.
10 out of 10. Do you, like, what has the response from your family been?
It's been good. I mean, it's been, you know, my parents have been like supportive and like, that's great, you know, like so proud and just, yeah, just all of that, you know, the just, you know, they know like I'm strong and they know like I did it on my own. And I've had many conversations with my mom about it and my dad and, you know,
yeah,
just, yeah, I mean,
Is your like at family events, are your parents okay with you doing like mocktails with like THC and CBD and stuff? Or is it more just like, yeah, you guys just, yeah?
Yeah, no, they're fine with it. And I don't really like, you know, I only have like a little bit if depending on the vibe, you know, I mean, but
yeah,
it's not a problem. I mean, you know, I don't like go announce it like, hey, this is what I'm having. Like if anybody wants any, you know, but I mean,
yeah.
So.
I know I could speak for Mikey, my brother. He looks up to you so much. You know, I don't think Mikey really is like painfully shy. Fucking, I feel like he barely talks to y'all and he's known you his entire life. But I know he looks up to you so much as someone who is a sober dad, you know, and he's just like watching you with your kids. He loves it. And he's, you know, and he thinks it's so cool because he's a sober dad. He is somebody who Mikey was never a big drinker, but like it would spiral for him and nothing is worth that, you know?
No.
And so you are making an influence.
Yeah. And that's great to hear. You know, that really is great to hear because it's like you live your life and you don't know who's watching you. Well, for me, it's like my kids are watching me.
Yeah.
And they're watching me like with everything, you know, and it's like if I'm just at home, just getting drunk, acting a fool, and it's like it's not going to work.
And Enzo's hella observant.
Oh yeah, he's so
smart. Said some shit to me at the cabin. I was like, "Damn, bro, you be watching everything I'm doing."
Yeah, he's hella funny, he's hella nosy like me.
You are nosy as shit for sure. We be always trying. So am I though. We're always trying to get the tea,
dude. I don't want to be part of it, but I definitely want to hear.
But
about
you want to be part of it,
yeah?
Because like, you know, my first call if I get off the phone with Joey is gonna be you.
Oh yeah, I was doing a work thing earlier, and Casey runs in, and because we have a senior center, our senior home right next to us, and she's like, "I got some tea." I said, "Hold on, I got three more minutes of this video." And then I'm
like, hold on. Neighborhood tea is the best,
right?
Dude, neighborhood
always,
watch.
She always be getting tea from like all the neighbors. She talks to all of them.
I'm like, I'd be like neighborhood watch too, like looking around, like looking out the windows, like which cars.
I can't
are
even
around,
afford to do. There's too many people in my neighborhood.
This red car has been parked there for 3 days. What's going on?
It's parked in front of my house. You know, Joey, when we dressed up like old people from Lissa's party, I left that walker out there. She's like, I don't know where it went. They must have took it because it's gone.
It's gone.
I mean, shoot, they probably needed it. I mean,
you're like,
donation. For real, donation.
I should have put a picture of Jesus on there. Like, you Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. John 3:16. Here's a walker.
Yeah. No, but anyways, I want to touch on the health part of it too.
Yeah, please, please.
Because, you know, that really was like a pushing factor as well, because, you know, my doctor kept telling me, and I would see it in writing, like my liver levels were skyrocketed, like literally skyrocketed. Like normal was like under 70 and mine was like in the 300 range.
Damn.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Joey.
And these were like, this is what I was seeing like all the time. So I knew it. And I think for me, I was just like, well, I'm going to go every 4 months and get my blood work done to see like what's going on, just to make sure like, yeah, my liver is still
bad.
Yeah. And I had like the fatty liver thing. I went to see a specialist and I had to have ultrasounds and everything. And there was like, yeah, fatty liver. Like I had a specialist like tell me like you have a fatty liver, like you continue to do what you're doing, like it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And finally, like, you know, when I did become sober, then it took me, you know, those were milestones too. It was about my health, because I was like, oh shoot, like I would go to the doctor every 4 months and it was like it started going down, you know, started going down, and I was like, cool. And it took like a good year and a half to reverse like all those effects, like literally probably almost 2 years. Jeez. And imagine, like, you know, for that many years, you're putting poison in your body.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be overnight to where you become healthy. That's why I'm a big advocate of like, you know, it's going to take time. You do damages to your body. It's going to take a lot of time to reverse that. And I was able to reverse it. And now I'm totally in the green, you know.
Yay,
but it took me a long time. And it took me about 2 years, you know.
Yeah. Don't you feel thankful?
Not, oh,
like,
yeah.
Aren't you thankful that the liver can like regenerate itself like that, though?
And that's what they said. You know, my doctor was like, you know, we just got to watch it. And as long as it gets better, then, you know, you're going to be good, you know. And it was.
Well, to be honest, you and Chanel like physically look better. I mean, besides the fact that you guys like always are cute people, but like you physically look better. You look younger. You look brighter. Like it does take a huge toll on your body.
He's like,
he's all, wow, thanks.
That oily skin helps.
Yeah, I'm telling you, look at me right now. This ring light's doing more damage than help. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, but no, it's you know, I'm definitely not at the place where I'm at physically, you know, where I want to be, but I've always been secure with my body, you know, and I know like a lot of men don't talk about like their body and stuff and like body image, but it's a thing. But I'm like, you know what? I don't want my kids to ever feel like, oh, they can't take their shirt off or something. Yeah. Or like, you know, they don't have a six pack. And it's like, you know, as a dad, as a man, it's like that kind of stuff is like not talked about, you know, it's like, oh, you want to like have a nice body, go to the gym. It's like, who wants to go to the gym? Like, I don't want to go to the gym. Like, you know, and I'm fine with like where my body's at right now. Like, of course I need to lose some weight because for health reasons, but it's like, you know, you get comfortable, you get happy. Like I want my kids to be so comfortable and not so like, oh, I'm big and I'm, you know, this or that. Like, you know, you just gotta be healthy, you know? I mean,
I think that is the message.
Yeah.
You know, don't look in the mirror and absolutely hate yourself. It's you don't love everything you see. Cause it's like bodies fluctuate. As somebody who's like I've never been small ever, you know, even in high school, I never had a small body. Even as an athlete, I never had a small body. I'm just like a thick person. But I think I remember somebody told me this once and I was fucking flabbergasted. They said, I remember thinking we're at the river that if Stacey doesn't give a fuck about being in a bathing suit, like, why should I care? And I was like, was that just a compliment? That was rude.
Like,
as
how
fuck.
Do I feel about
you're like, damn.
It was rude as fuck. And funny enough, that person's fucking huge now. So fuck you. But
yeah,
like,
you're like, yeah, I got that confidence. And it's like, and what?
Yeah, it was like my guy friend's friend he brought for the day, this girl. And I was just like, dude, like, but I think that is the thing is like, yes, health wise, we should obviously all try to be better. But showing your kids to have a healthy body image, that's huge.
And, you know, for me, it was like I got some internal health stuff that I have to work on. It wasn't like what I look like on the outside.
Yeah.
It was like I really need to get my numbers down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm telling you, you look great.
Oh, thanks.
You fine.
So you. I'm not going that far. Damn. Well, yeah. I mean, I really appreciate you even coming on and talking about this because I do know that everybody's like sober journey is their own, you know?
Yeah. I'm gonna title this episode Sober Dad Journey.
No, for real, it's like, you all know, right, we can go on and on about this because it's like this is just like the tip of the iceberg of everything, you know, like fatherhood, being a parent, you know, being sober. It's like the stressors of life. It's like life in general, then adding kids, you know, being a parent, then you wanting to be successful in your career. You know, obviously everybody goes through all this. This is stuff everybody goes through.
Yeah.
But it's how you navigate it. It's how you respond to things. It's how, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Of course, like it's difficult. And it's like, you know, you gotta find that balance. You gotta find what works for you. And, you know, becoming sober is like, if that's what's gonna take you to the next level. I mean, those are the hard decisions to make, but it's something that everybody has to personally decide because, you know, everybody's situation is different.
Yeah,
that's true. Well, that's actually a good question, though. What are some alternative behaviors you do when you're stressed? Like if you would go have a drink or when you celebrate, have a drink, like what are some alternative behaviors you do now? Like healthy.
So I feel like I just kind of switched my addictions to other things. Because
to be honest,
I feel like,
not a way we wanted to end it, but sure. Just kidding.
No. Well, I mean, to productive things.
Okay.
Yeah. And like marketplace manager.
Yeah. Like reselling. So I turned into the reselling, but then I'm addicted to like thrift shopping. So
everybody, I am too. Like, it's so good when you find a good find.
No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, when you have an addictive personality or you notice that you're addicted, you can get addicted to things easily. It doesn't matter if it doesn't have to be like, oh, drugs and alcohol, you know, it's spending money. It's like shopping. It's whatever, you know? So I kind of turned that into a positive by reselling. So now I'm like making money, but then, you know, so that's, yeah. But as far as like turning into, what do you say, turning into things?
Just like alternative behaviors when you're stressed, like because of fatherhood or your job or whatever the daily stressors are, you're not going home and cracking open a beer, or like a bottle of wine. Like what is
usually like coming outside. Like I'm outside right now, my backyard. Like I've worked hard to really get my backyard to where I want it to be because I love to like relax out here. Like before this call, like Enzo and I were outside and he loves coming outside and playing, and you know, I like nice things. So I like to make sure my backyard is like nicely manicured and, you know, visually stunning.
Did you have its weight room going yet?
That's in the process, but it's getting there. You know, a lot of things work in progress. We're going to circle back to that, but, you know, like just coming outside, like literally, like I don't have a garden, but like, you know, tinkering around in the garage, like outside, like making sure everything's like nice, like putting my patio sets out, like coming and relaxing outside, like that's like stuff we like to do, you know, and I like to do that to just chill and relax. Like we like to be at home, you know, like that's our vibe, that's our thing. So being around the family, hanging out, like, you know,
being around us. Hello.
When we it. Can yeah virtually can we... now I know we're also busy.
Can we end with you just sharing?
I don't want it to end.
Oh, okay. Look at him now. Look at him now. Remember, he was nervous.
Hey, we'll have a part two of Marketplace, whatever, manager.
Marketplace man.
No, can we end it with any advice that you would have? And you probably already have sprinkled many nuggets of knowledge, but any advice for people that are considering like getting sober? I know that you've inspired me already to drink less, even more so after this. This call, I was like,
God damn it,
I was just in Vegas last weekend, and I was like, how do I get a drink?
you're good. I feel like for you,
yeah. You know, I don't really drink to get
three seltzers of an event. I think you'll be fine.
No, but even though I don't
mean to talk to you about that.
No, I feel like that's like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Because for me, I when I drink, I have one or two. And so I'm not drinking to get drunk. I don't have hangovers. I'm not like getting hammered.
Well,
it's like, then what? I'm still poisoning my body. So like, what's the point of that? I'm trying to suppress something or make myself more comfortable. But it's like, I probably should be processing that stuff instead of like putting a suppressant in my body and toxins. So I don't know that conversation has helped. And I've seen you throughout your sobriety journey. So
yeah, you have, you guys have, I guess, I don't know what advice I would say is like, what's your why? I mean, why do you want to be sober? Like why, you know, you really, really like taking an internal, like deep dive and what's your purpose? What's your why? I mean, like for me, it was like my kids, my family, like, do I want to live like a healthy, long life and like be around for my kids? Or do I want to just like physically be here and not be like mentally and emotionally present, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, really, what is your reasoning? Like, why do you do it? Like, why? And sometimes for people that's hard to like really look inside and be like, what is going on inside of me in my mind mentally, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I mean, I guess that's the advice I would give is like, what's your why, you know?
Find your why.
Yeah.
Find your why. You sound like my boss. That's like our PD at the beginning of every year. Remember why we're working with the kids. I'm like, fuck them kids.
Dude. And that could, for real, that can go into a lot of aspects of life, but it's like, you know,
it is true though. It's like the most digestible advice. Cause it is true. You know, there are a lot of people I think say like, I feel like there's some like judgment around why people get sober. And if it's for another person besides yourself, people will have these like comments. It's like, dude, just let people fucking live. Like if it's cause you're motivated to be a better parent and a better husband, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
And your kids deserve that. They didn't ask to be here. You brought them here. So like, be the best you can be.
Exactly. And I'm like, I have to be there for them.
Period. Because
it's like, shit, Evan's 16 now. And I'm like, you know, pretty soon he's going to be an adult. And it's like, I remember when I was like 18, it's like, damn, you know?
Yeah. I remember when you were 18 doing ho shit.
I think too, it's about you. I think it is about you though. Like, even though it's about your family, but it's you wanting to be a better husband and you wanting to be a better dad. So I love that that's your why. So I think that even to say, cause I have the same feeling, Stacey, as you, when you're like, you're going to get sober because you want to make sure that this girl doesn't leave you or whatever. But it's like, yeah, if that's your only reason, you're probably in a tricky spot, because if the chick still leaves you, then you start drinking again. But like, Joey's wanting to be like a better human being to show up for the people that he loves as well.
So. And there's always underlying reasons. Always. That's the thing, you got to dig deep.
Yeah. And honestly, Joey, I don't even know how much higher you can get in my book.
Oh,
you know, you already know everybody that's on here. You know, they used to call us kissing cousins when we were little. At least my family did. Maybe not Joey's. My family did.
Me and my cousin Ryan, they used to call us that too. Cause we were 16.
My Mexican side, they'd be like, oh, kissing cousins. I have so many people who like are haters on me and Joey because we've maintained a bond. And it's like, dude, cousin or not, like, it's the same with you. When you just somebody is like one of your soulmates, it's just what it is, you know?
Yeah. And then you vibes are just different. And sometimes
we don't force any of this.
You know?
Yeah. We don't force it. It's just what I have with you guys. I'm lucky to call you both my best friend, you know?
We're naturally organic.
Just love you guys so much. People probably listen to our podcast, so like, these fucking bitches are hella annoying. They just always express their love for each other.
No, I mean, I love you guys, but I mean, it is funny. I mean, it's a good podcast, I feel like.
Because we're just like, I love you so much. Your journey and you're growing and you're evolving and your evolution.
I was just going to ask, do we want to say journey like three more times before this ends?
Journey.
Just to make sure.
I do like the journey being in the title. We got to do something with journey.
Joey's journey.
Oh!
No, I'm just kidding.
All
right.
Thank you so much for being on.
We love you so much.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been great. Thank you.
It only took us 3 seasons to talk you into it.
I know. I finally made it. I think I'm at the pinnacle.
I know. I was going to say you're the season finale, but you're not. We have one more after you.
We have one more.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, but you're our last guest of the season.
Exactly.
Stacey and I are just...
Well, if you guys need anybody else next season, let me know.
Hey, you'll be back.
I'm ready now. I'm ready.
We popped that podcast cherry of yours. We got to get Chanel on and get her side of it.
Yeah.
Like, this motherfucker.
Like, I listened to everything that motherfucker said.
Chanel's journey.
Yeah, for reals.
All right. All right. I love you. Have a good night.
Love you.
Love you guys. Have a good night. Till next time.
A beautiful mess. Yes. Life is a beautiful mess. A beautiful mess.